It's football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Right, I think.
Yeah, dude.
California, man. There's a lot of ranchers and there's a lot of country folk.
Yeah, I love California because California's got it all. I mean, it's D-Mac with Nate Jackson. By the way, did you look up the Granger Movement? What did we get going on there?
The Granger Movement was founded in 1867 to advance the social and economic interests of rural farmers.
Hi. I wrote a paper about it.
Yeah, there was...
Try to keep your eyes open reading through 5 pages of that.
Farmers were getting gouged by the efforts of politicians to regulate rates charged by the railroads and stuff like that. So. You already knew that, though.
Of course.
Come on.
Football at 4 here on The Fan. Brandon Marshall is a member of the Oakland Raiders. A 1-year deal worth a little bit more than $4 million.
The Raiders.
So best of luck to Brandon Marshall, who now have... Brandon Marshall, the Raiders have Brandon Marshall and Vontaze Burfict.
Sure can, Crazy Pirate.
See how that works out for him. I saw a crazy mock today that had the Raiders trading up to number 1 to get Kyler Murray.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be a trip?
I could see it.
Why?
Because, man, they got a lot to play with. And they seem to be making some bold moves. And John Gruden doesn't seem sold on Mr. Derek Carr.
You don't think? Why?
I just feel like they've had a contentious relationship ever since he got there. They were arguing a lot on the sidelines last year. And so John Gruden is a very cutthroat man, and he knows what he wants, and maybe he wants to try something different. Now, I know he said in interviews that, hey, Derek's our guy.
But yeah.
Everybody says that.
Right.
Yeah, everybody says that.
You have 3 picks in the first round. You've already tanked. Right? Basically. You traded away Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack. Boy, that makes a lot of sense to me. That you'd make a move now. And not wait to tank again next year. For Tua Tagovailoa or Herbert out there in Oregon or Jake Fromm. Those are the big 3 next year.
Right.
And the real golden child, of course, is Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, but he's not available until 2021.
Mm.
No.
And Kyler Murray, they got him now, a couple years to develop, and by the time their stadium is ready in Vegas, well, he'd be hitting a stride and they'd be looking good. I mean,
it's compelling, man. It's compelling.
They've had these stadium issues where they're going to play. I guess they're going to play in Oakland now.
Yeah, I guess so.
But it seems like they don't really care about this next year or the next couple until they get to Vegas. And then
that's an interesting question. Are they willing to tank it all over again this year?
Well, based on the moves they're making, seems like no. Because why would you bring Antonio Brown in right now for all that money? Because in 3 years when they get to Vegas, he's going to be, what, 34?
Right. So why? And you know, if you get a quarterback, one of those guys next year, it's going to take time for that guy to get going.
Right.
So why not just.
And you don't want like a rookie quarterback who everyone wants to play when you get to Vegas. You want someone who's kind of
got some stuff,
a little bit of experience and a little, you know, who's ready to go.
And I look at the Chargers as kind of that same type of team, too, by the way. How much do you really love Philip Rivers? Like,
well, he's a great leader.
Is he?
Yeah.
You sure? Well, I mean, what have you really done with Philip Rivers?
They had a good season last year.
I mean, they're out early in the playoffs again.
Anytime you go to the playoffs, it's a good season.
Okay. All right. You think Philip Rivers is a championship quality quarterback? You think he could win a Super Bowl?
Probably not.
Then what are we doing?
You know why? Because he gets too tired. The season's too long, and his arm's not big enough anymore.
No,
and he's not mobile enough. And he's really, I think he's a really good leader. He's been in every situation. He's
all right, fine. But are you going to win a championship with him or not?
I don't believe so.
And if you're not, then I'm not saying you got to bench him or cut him right now. But, you know, when are you moving on? So I agree with you I agree with you definitely about Carr, okay? And I think you got to look at the Chargers as well. And then you look at some other teams. Miami has just said we're tanking, basically. The Dolphins are just giving up.
And do you know the Dolphin?
And then the Washington, you know, they got Case Keenum as a starter.
Hey, he could have a good season.
Dude, we could see like 5 quarterbacks taken in the first round this year.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen. Would the Broncos be one of them? You know, Orlando made this bet about this tattoo thing, and I think he's relatively safe, and I do think it's a QB miss, Zach Bye, and it's a smokescreen and all that, I think. But I don't know. And if they did draft a quarterback, the Broncos, it really wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It actually makes a lot of sense.
you just, I've been hearing you say it would be the worst thing, not the worst thing in the world, but the stupidest thing in the world.
Only because of everything else they've done in terms of win now. Like, it's not a good win now moment.
Right.
But from a developmental, like, long-term plan, it actually makes a lot of sense. I can't figure out exactly who the Broncos are right now. I think I know who they are. I think they're a win now sort of thing. So if you're in a win now sort of mode, and I think that's who they are, drafting a quarterback at 10 when you can do so many other things and get yourself a starter or trade back and maybe get 2 starters in the first round, it doesn't seem to make a whole heck of a lot of sense. But okay, if you're just telling me what's the best for the organization, you know, down the road, yeah, it actually does make sense.
Can't you be doing 2 things at once? Like,
I don't know.
Can't you win now with Joe Flacco and win later with whatever quarterback you draft?
Well, the problem is, where do you get that quarterback?
At 10.
Well, but then you're giving up on Devin Bush or maybe Devin White, or you're giving up on N'Keal Harry or DK Metcalf, or you're giving up on a guy who can play like right now. And if in my perfect scenario, you trade back and you get 2 guys. You get a starting center and a receiver. That's worth a guy who may develop a couple years down the road?
Joe Flacco's 35, right?
34.
34.
Why are you trying to make him so old? Why are you going to be so mean?
He's 34. So you got to prepare a little for the future at some point. And right?
I don't know.
Yeah, of course you do.
I don't know.
But you can do both at once. And that's what teams are always doing. They're always doing that.
I have officially changed my mind on something, though. Like, official.
All right.
It's not flip-flopping. but I've changed something significant. Details next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Happy birthday to Lady Gaga. She's 33. Are you a Lady Gaga fan, Nate?
I love Lady Gaga. I think she's a great artist.
Did you see Stars Born?
I did, yeah.
Did you cry?
No. I didn't really like Bradley's performance.
Really? Just mumbling, just looking at the ground the whole time, just spitting and just like moving his hair around and just,
I don't know, I just didn't see what was so endearing about his character.
I was trying to figure out why he was bummed out. Yeah, I mean, you're kind of washed up, but people all love you and everything. I mean, I get it, you're like an alcoholic, I suppose. But your girlfriend is, you know, like the most talented human on earth. Convinced her to stick around with you. Like, you're jealous of her? Like, why?
Yeah.
You got a great life.
Well, because he discovered her, and then she just surpassed him.
What'd she do? What did she do that was so wrong? She got more famous than him?
Yeah.
So that's why you Well, I don't want any spoilers. If I
you can spoil it, man. I can spoil it for long enough.
It's the third remake of the movie.
Exactly. I wonder what happens.
Actually, you know what? I hadn't seen the other two movies, the other two versions of it, so I didn't know actually what was coming.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So when that happened, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got me a little emotional.
Doesn't end well for Mr.
No. Seems like a strange leap.
For him?
Yeah, maybe go for a walk or something.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I think he'd been contemplating the act for a long time.
I guess so. All right, here's where I've changed my opinion on something. I'm not backtracking. I'm not backpedaling. You can evolve. And it had to do with our interview with Herm Edwards and just looking at things and thinking about things a little deeper. So it's all about DK Metcalf. And then everybody was like, you're an idiot. He runs one route. Nobody ever threw him the ball there at Ole Miss. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I was like, no. You take the top off. He's super talented. He's big. He's horrible mismatch. He had a bad quarterback there at Ole Miss. Bad coaching. He'll be better. Blah, 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 blah. But then I just started thinking more about N'Keal Harry. And it was just like, he's a better option, just period, than DK Metcalf. Part of it was because my kid goes to ASU, I felt like, man, if I just pump up this guy and support him, it's just me being a homer, sort of, and doesn't have any value. But when we had Herm on yesterday, and he's talking about, you know, N'Keal Harry's Dez Bryant, basically, I was like, okay, you know what, I think he's actually right. And of course, he's his coach, so he's saying nice things about him. But the mismatch, and he's a more complete football player at the end of the day than DK Metcalf, but he brings you all the same size, not quite the same speed. But if we're looking for, Nate, a tight end that can catch the ball, aren't we just looking for a big receiver at the end of the day?
Not necessarily.
Sure.
Because tight ends have to block, man.
Not if they're primarily being used to throw to anyway.
That's not true.
Wide receivers have to block, don't they?
Not with their hand in the dirt next to the tackle. And you need a versatile tight end because you can't.
Don't we have tight ends that can? Don't we have Jeff Heuerman who can do that? Jake Budd who can do that? Don't we have guys that can already do that?
Yeah, but you don't want to bring in the guy who can block when you want to run and then bring in the guy who can catch when you want to pass. You want a little bit of confusion on the defense. You don't want them to know what you're going to do.
When Gronk is spread out wide and Tony Romo's telling everybody he's about to catch the ball,
yeah.
Doesn't everybody know that Gronk is about to catch the ball?
Yes.
Doesn't everybody know what they're going
to
do?
Yeah, but you know what? When Gronk goes to the line of scrimmage and puts his hand in the dirt, then splits out, shifts out, motions out, well, that's what he has the ability to do because he is such a good blocker. He is a very good blocker. And that makes him more dangerous in the passing game because the defenses can't key on that. And that's what you wouldn't be able to do if you got a guy who couldn't block.
I'm just changing. I think the tight end thing, man. I don't know, dude. I just feel like you can get one of these guys in the third round. That's going to be all right. You got a couple guys that you've already invested in anyways. Fumagalli didn't play. He was hurt. He's going to be okay. Jake Butt, I hope, is going to be okay. Heuerman, you've kind of locked up. I just don't see it. I just don't see us having a dynamic wide receiver to go with Cortland Sutton like you have with, for me now, N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I see redundancy at these other things, and I don't see a big enough separation between, like, TJ Hockenson and what we already have. But I see a huge discrepancy between N'Keal Harry and who we already have. Huge.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen with Emmanuel Sanders. I just don't. I don't know if he's going to be healthy. I don't know if the Broncos are going to want to pay him $8.5 million to find out during the season after he probably won't have practiced all that much.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think between N'Keal and TJ Hockenson, N'Keal would come in and make a more immediate impact, I believe. And even if, you know, TJ Hockenson's a great tight end, he's going to come in and he's going to be behind the other guys. He's not going to be playing better than right off the bat. It takes a while. The learning curve is steep for a tight end. These guys who are already on the team are going to be leaps and bounds, I believe, ahead of any tight end who comes in.
Yeah, and there's another issue, too. Heuerman, Jake Butt, Fumagalli, they're all young now. Cortland Sutton's young now. Deshaun Hamilton's young now. Emmanuel Sanders isn't, no matter what. This isn't like me being angry. This is just obvious stuff. The dude just turned 32. On St. Patrick's Day, he's coming off an Achilles. And even if he's on the team and plays this year, are the Broncos really going to fork up some sort of huge multi-year deal to Emmanuel Sanders at age 32 after this season?
If he has a great season, maybe a three-year deal. The thing about receivers is...
No, man. I mean, where are you going? Wouldn't you rather have N'Keal Harry in his second year, Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton in their third year, Tim Patrick, who's got a pretty bright future in his third or fourth year, something like that? I mean, at a really relatively low budget, where you can spend bigger money on other things?
Can't you have those guys and Emmanuel as well?
I don't think so. Well, I don't think so. Let me think about that for a second.
You want a veteran receiver on the unit. You really do. I mean, if you have a bunch of young guys, you benefit from having a veteran guy who's had a lot of catches, who knows all the circumstances, and a confident guy like Emmanuel. He is 32, but he's a smaller guy, and those smaller guys can play longer.
I'm sticking with N'Keal Harry. That's where I've changed my mind. Instead of Zach Bias probably losing his mind right now hearing me say this, but I'm going N'Keal. I'm definitely biased, but I think I'm being reasonable here.
At what pick? At number 10?
I still want to drop back.
Yeah.
No, not at 10. I think dropping back is you got to do it. And by the way, I don't think Devin White's going to be there. I don't think so. I mean, everything I'm looking at has Devin White going in the top five somewhere. So I think your dream inside linebacker isn't going to be there anyway. And so then you got to say, well, what's the difference between Devin Bush and like Mac Wilson, who certainly will go in the second round? You have to have that conversation. We have a story about how an ex-Bronco does not know how to use Uber at all. And little something on ownership. Got a little something today. Little something. Details coming up.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Mr. Todo el mundo dice, dale mami, párame taxi.
Beyontre's mount.
It's funny.
He's one of those dudes that, I don't know, he's on the Broncos for sure, but he was never a significant player for him at C-Mac with Nate Jackson. Hopefully, after the Rockies are done, we'll be talking to one of the heroes of the game. And it looks like there will be a hero of the game for the Rockies, at least at this point. The Rockies lead 6-1. Kyle Freeland still on the bump in the bottom of the seventh with two outs. So that would be amazing at 92 pitches. If Freeland can get this one more out, that'll be a great day for Kyle Freeland. So be an awesome start. We'll see if he gets out of this little sticky wicket. He's got men on first and second with two outs and a 1-1 count. So we'll see what happens. Anyways, Deontre's mount. So, Nate, what did he do? He was...
It looks like there was some sort of disagreement with an Uber driver about where he was to be dropped off.
Okay.
Which, if you've been in an Uber...
What do you mean, like, where you're going to get dropped off?
Okay, so when you're in an Uber, and it didn't always used to be like this, but you have to enter your destination.
Okay.
And these Uber drivers, they're tracked by headquarters and their analytics and stuff. They can't really veer off of this path. You have to re-enter the destination in your phone in the back seat instead of being like, hey, man, just take a ride up here instead.
Right.
Just drop me off here. There's some tension sometimes.
Gotcha. Like, if you tell me where to go, I really got
to
go there.
You have to go where it is on your phone. These guys just follow these phone dots and lines.
Okay, all right.
And which is why Uber drivers are such bad drivers. They're just bust U-turns in the middle of the street. They double park, you know, because they're waiting for their blue dot to come out.
Right.
And so there's a lot of room for kind of confusion and this altercation seems to be part of that. So he probably said, no, I don't want to go there. I want to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what happened after that.
He got arrested.
Assaulted him. But I've been in some Ubers where I've wanted to assault an Uber driver. I never did it. But I just take a right here, man. Just drop me off.
Wouldn't do it.
No, and then you got to worry about the stars. You know, how many stars did we get? Because, like, as the driver, these drivers have to maintain something like 4.8. 8.5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, they get their Uber certification removed or whatever it is. But as a passenger, you are also rated.
Right.
And you have a star. You have a rating yourself. And I made the mistake of looking at my rating.
What is your rating?
Well, it was like 4.75 or something, which is pretty good. But we were comparing it to my other friends, and theirs was like 4.9 something. So I got all insecure, like, am I being mean to Uber drivers, you know? And so then I started being super nice to them, trying to get my ratings up. Like, hey, man, what's going on? Great car. Smells great in here.
How long you been driving?
Yeah. Where are you from?
Where are you from? How you doing?
Busy today? But it's a weird technology, and Uber headquarters is trying to track everything now.
Well, this isn't the first time I remember a Broncos player, ex-Broncos player, getting in a member of the transportation service.
Couple times. I remember a couple kickers, actually.
Give me the story.
Todd Sauerbrunn and Matt Prater. In separate incidents, I believe, gotten into an argument with a cab driver.
Do you remember Sauerbrunn's incident?
I think he slapped the Uber driver in the face.
Well, it was a cab driver at the time. It was a while ago.
Yeah, the cab driver.
Yeah, he like had a physical altercation.
Hey, man, you don't want to mess with Todd Sauerbrunn.
Tell me about it.
He's a no-nonsense type of guy.
I mean, when you're looking at a punter whose sleeves are all rolled up and he's sporting that tribal, and there's no doubt he's doing roids.
Yeah. You think?
What? You tell me.
We called him Boom.
For what?
Because when he kicked the ball, it went boom.
Nice.
Yeah. He punted the ball very far.
You could have called him Needle.
You don't have any proof of that.
No, I don't. But he was one of the more interesting Broncos players of all time as a punter, who definitely had a mentality that he was, you know, not just a punter. There was something about that dude.
Well, I enjoyed him as a teammate. I thought he was a good teammate.
I'm sure he was a great teammate.
Yeah, he was. I liked him a lot.
It was funny, though, to see him with the rolled-up sleeves and the tribal tattoos, and, you know, he is a punter.
Yeah.
And then he was slapping around a cab driver, and more or less, you know, you're only so valuable.
Boom.
The other one, Matt Prater. Matt, do you know the entire Prater story?
I don't.
It's a good one. Yeah. Can I see the Prater story here pretty quick? I got this ownership stuff, but here's the Prater story pretty quick. Essentially, the Prater story starts with the building of IKEA.
Wow.
So when they were building IKEA, they needed security guards to look over the building as they were building it. And they were holding them up at a hotel. And so there's four security guards from IKEA, and it's like 2:00 in the morning. And they see a car in the parking lot of the hotel hit another car in the parking lot. And out of the car comes a guy and a girl, and they go into the lobby. But the IKEA guys are like, hey, you just hit that guy, this, that, the other thing. And the guy kind of blows him off and just goes there. Well, the IKEA guys, these are security guys for IKEA. They're not having this. I mean, this is awesome. You know, something has finally happened. You know, it's been boring watching, you know, IKEA being built. So they call the cops, and the guy with the girl gets the idea that he is about to be ratted out by the IKEA cops. Well, the guy happens to be Matt Prater, and the girl happens to be a dancer from Shotgun Willie's.
Nothing wrong with that.
Single individuals making life decisions as responsible adults or whatever. But he just
dilly.
Banged into a car in the parking lot, and he didn't leave a note. You can't do that.
Right.
So The dancer from Shotgun Willie's is in the lobby. Now, she doesn't really know who Matt Prater is, but they're in a hotel, Nate, so I'm assuming we see where the rest of this is going that particular night. But Matt
lived in a hotel, though.
So you think he was just continuing a date?
Perhaps.
Yes, perhaps they were going to go.
Because he was worried that he, rightfully so, as a kicker, he could get cut at any time.
Sure. So Matt leaves, though, the hotel. And the dancer just stays in the lobby. And the cop comes, and they go, well, who are you with? And she goes, I don't know. His name was Matt P. So Matt's gone. Like, he's out of there. And they find out who Matt Prater is because they go to his car, and his badge for training camp is on the dashboard. So they know who they're looking for. It's an incredible investigation going on. What's amazing is that Matt P. didn't go somewhere else. He just went to the next hotel next door. And through an incredible amount of CSI investigations, they figured out he was just next door at the next hotel. So they went up to his room, knocked on his door, and he started crying because he felt that he was going to lose his job.
Hey, man.
But as
I like Matt.
I like Matt a lot.
He's a good guy.
I totally agree. And the truth of the matter is Matt had a drinking problem, unfortunately. And he went to rehab for it. And he got better. And as soon as he got clean and came back, the Broncos cut him. But that being said, he ended up meeting a girl who he fell in love with, got married, and is having a terrific career at this time in Detroit. But the fact that you were bringing a girl home, you hit another car, you were ratted out by IKEA people, you went to another hotel, she didn't know who your name was, and they found you in the next hotel, and you cried about, you know, Mike Shanahan, or I'm going to get cut. I think it was Shanahan. I don't know who it was at the time. Maybe McDaniels. I don't know.
I think it was McDaniels at that point.
All of that that was happening during training camp. This was during training camp.
Kickers have the luxury of not having to run at training camp, so they can do whatever they want as long as they make the meetings on time and kick well. I wonder if the IKEA building came in a box.
And on that note, we'll take a break. I'll let you know what I learned about the ownership stuff next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
With Nate Jackson, the Rockies have a nice 6-2 lead here on opening day on the road. Kyle Freeland got through 7 innings pretty nicely, and you got a 4-run lead. Got to get yourself, well, at this point, 5 more outs. And who are we going with here? Is it Oberg? Is that who we got? I think.
Yeah.
Usually this is where we'd have Ottavino. Ottavino's not on the team anymore, which is a bummer. So it looks like, it would take a total collapse for the Rockies to blow it at this point, but crazier things have happened, so we'll figure it out. Hopefully we'll be talking to one of the heroes for the Rockies down there in Miami at some point in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll see how it goes. Ownership stuff, Nate. Not a huge deal here, not a big change, but talking to a couple of my little birdies here on the ownership stuff with the Broncos, and it's interesting how people are seeing what's going on. Now, there's always two sides to a coin, right? So it is kind of crazy to say, how can something be happening and both sides of an argument see that things are going well for them?
Right.
But that's the case.
Hmm.
There's an argument why things are going well for one side. And then, you know, today I got information about why things look good for the other side. And
is it wearing you out?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Because one side says, well, look at this, 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 and this. Oh, okay. Then the other side says, well, hey, look at this, 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 and that. Okay. So, like I said, this wasn't like big sort of breaking news, but more or less what I was told today is all the glowing reviews of how things are going one way, be careful on that, because there's another side of how things may be really developing, and it's not a slam dunk like everybody might think. How's that for being vague, but still saying, you know, the door is somewhat open on this whole thing.
Well, what's the other side's argument as to why it's going well?
It's about what everybody's focusing on. Like, the terms of the arbitration and what the NFL's looking at isn't a conclusive decision on who gets the team next. It's about, specifically 5 other specific issues that don't necessarily have to do directly with the, like, the arbitration will not just place Brittany Bowlen as the owner of the Broncos. It's not what that's all about. Meanwhile, there's still another significant lawsuit that is proceeding. But the question is, can both of these things kind of proceed at the same time, or does a decision in one case dramatically affect what happens on the other case? And that's what, we'll see.
So you're thinking the NFL's arbitration could have an effect on the lawsuit?
More vice versa.
Vice versa, right?
Yeah, more vice versa. It is absurdly complicated.
And do they have a timeline as to when this will be all?
I was told that things will be interesting on both sides. Things will start getting interesting this summer. We already know through Roger Goodell that the arbitration's been going on for 30 to 45 days. And by the way, wasn't that kind of a vague number, 30 to 45 days? Like, how do you lose 15 days? Or there's possible a 15-day gap in something like that.
Well, maybe what constitutes the beginning of the arbitration is not, you know, clear between different
Why parties. Isn't it clear?
Well, maybe the first paper that gets printed out of the machine happened 45 days ago and no one
maybe
looked at it
happened
until
30 days ago.
And no one looked at it until 30 days.
Let's sit this over here.
Exactly.
I'll look at that in 10 days.
Things move slowly these days. People have a lot on their minds. Carmen Policy, especially.
Well, I mean, Carmen, you know, at 76, he is a whippersnapper. You know, there's nothing I want. There's nobody I want deciding billion-dollar interest more than a 76-year-old gentleman.
Are you saying that for people in their 70s, they're not lucid enough to handle this stuff?
Yeah, that's right.
We have a lot of leaders that are in their 70s.
Yeah, you know, we should all be concerned dramatically.
Well, Carmen Policy's got a lot of experience in this field.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm being, I'm age shaming.
You're ageist.
Am I ageist?
I think so. Yeah. You know, 76 is the new 62.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I feel like when I hit 62, I don't want to do anything else and make any more significant decisions that would impact anybody.
Until you're 62 and you're like, I still feel the same.
No, well, we'll see. But I'm guessing at age 62, it's going to be a wrap on me making major decisions for anybody's interest except for my own. And even my own, you know, I could probably use a consultant on.
The leadership in this country is in their 70s, and a lot of the candidates on the other side are in their 70s. We're going to have 70-year-olds. Leading the world for
Don't
a long time.
Don't you think it's
time.
Just a tad insane that we trust 70-year-olds to make so many decisions?
Yes and no.
Anyways, Carmen Policy, 76.
I'm a little biased towards Carmen Policy. He ran the Niners.
Okay.
And he did it.
And?
He became a legend, man.
He's a lawyer. I don't know. Whatever. Who knows? The guy's going to just rule in the Broncos' favor. I can't even imagine. But it's not like it's not in the Broncos' favor to like just like... Brittany's the owner. It's not like that. It's about the issues that are set out to be arbitrated with, and that's not one of them. It's about the process. It's like, are the Broncos using the right process here? That's more or less what's being arbitrated. And I have no doubt that that will be ruled that, yes, the Broncos are well within their rights to be using the process that they're using. I'll be stunned. But the whole lawsuit is the complete opposite. The whole lawsuit says... This trust in the way things are being handled is completely improper.
And who's seeing that lawsuit? What judge is going to decide?
Charles Pratt, 18th Circuit, Arapahoe County Justice House.
Wow.
Court.
A lot of pressure on that man.
Mr. Chuck Pratt.
Wow.
It's in his court.
All right.
He'll see that.
On what grounds are they saying it's being mishandled?
From Bill Bowen's perspective,
yes.
Conflict of interest that the members of the trust also have power of attorney and just have too much vested interest to be objective. That is summing up in a very short way, like a 50-page court filing, but more or less it's like that. And they're saying you should just get rid of this form of the trust and establish a new trust.
Did they object to the formation of the trust when it was formed?
No. Because it's a little dicey, like, exactly how the trust was formed and when it was formed.
No one knows?
it's just, it's a little cloudy.
Is there a document that outlines the role of the trust and all that
There's
stuff?
Documents that Bill Bolenside says they've never seen that would give clarification on all of that. And they said there have been changes to the trust over years that also haven't been made available to them that should be acted on differently now than it was set up, and it's complicated. And what they're more or less saying is in this lawsuit is we just get rid of this trust, establish a different trust, and then let them rule based on what they feel Pat Bowlen really wanted. Let them interpret the wishes of Pat Bowlen. They don't think, and this is obviously would favor Beth Bowlen Wallace because she's already been ruled out. She's been called unqualified and incapable, and her integrity's been questioned.
On what grounds?
Well, we don't know.
Well, this is this all going to come out?
Well, you would think if there's
it's got to
at some point.
Is this stuff made public?
It will be if it goes through court. Yeah, and that's,
they're prepared for that, obviously.
Well, I guess.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you say somebody is not qualified and not capable, and then you question their integrity, I mean, if it's through court, I suppose at some point you got to say why.
Discovery, right?
Discovery. Could be an interesting summer. We'll see.
Yeah.
Dude, it's crazy though. It's gotten ridiculously messy.
Well, hopefully it gets resolved at least.
Has to at some point. Yeah. It's just thinking about this whole thing, it just was a bad trust it was just a bad setup in the first place. And I mean, at the end of the day, that's got to, that goes to Pat Bowlen himself. I mean, I don't know what he was really thinking. I don't really know what his, all of his intentions were.
Pat set up the trust?
Yeah, it's his trust.
So then on what grounds can it be considered illegitimate?
Well, right. That's what the Broncos say. That's what Joe Ellis would say. That's what they say.
Okay.
They say, We know Pat better than anybody. We know exactly what he wanted. We are doing exactly what he wanted. And so there's just should be no issue here whatsoever. We're doing exactly what we were empowered to do. That's what their argument is. And then Pat Bowlen's brother Bill says, no, you're not. And that's the lawsuit.
Bill's going to have a hard time proving that.
It's going to be, I agree. I think whatever grounds they have, and we'll see where they go with it, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But hey, a lot of money on the line.
Right. Like, that's another question. Like, so if the Broncos are worth $2.6 billion today, what are they going to be worth in 10 years?
Five, six.
You think so?
Maybe. I don't know. Four. It depends on the growth of the NFL, if they can continue.
Where do you think the NFL's going?
It seems like the best thing in town. It's, 9 out of 10 of the top watch TV shows every year are NFL games.
Yeah, what point do we see anything going down in the NFL?
It's funny, a couple years ago, the ratings sagged a little bit, and everyone was charting the demise and saying, well, it's over for the NFL. Then they bounce right back, and they're on top again and growing again, and the revenue grows every year. I think they're $15 billion a year and something like that. So I don't see it slowing down. It's still part of the kind of the cultural lexicon in this country. It's baked into this American experience. Played at every high school, played at every college. I don't see it slowing down.
I don't either. Here's Mark Schlereth talking about that Flacco trade.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW. You know, all the options that the Broncos had and that John Elway had at the quarterback position, this really has turned out to be the best possible option. I mean, if I'm grading this thing, I have to look at all options available versus what you did, and I got to give you an A as an organization. I mean, think about this. You could have gone with Case Keenum. If you go with Case Keenum in his final year, you know you have to draft a quarterback to replace him. It absolutely locks you in to you have to make a decision at number 10 in the draft. If you decide to get away from Case Keenum and go with one of the free agents that are out there, come on, the free agent quarterbacks that are out there, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor,
So you lock up your quarterback with the potential of having him for the next couple of years, and you open up that number 10 overall spot. You don't have to. You're not forced to take a quarterback. You got to grade this thing an A. So when you think about this deal in totality, I've got to give him an A, and I have to give John Elway credit because he did a great job when he put his pen to the paper.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.